of the Carpenters Local 1503, and Marcus is from Local 146. Thanks to our engineer, Danielle Parker. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline. Thanks, Jamie.
Right on.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Sexual Assault Resource Center's 40th anniversary fundraiser on Thursday, April 27th at 5 p.m. at Echo Trust in Portland. The Sexual Assault Resource Center was founded in 1977 to promote social justice by eliminating sexual violence in our community through education, support, and advocacy. Their fundraiser features Moody Little Sister and DJ Mr. Moo Moo and more. Again, that's the Sexual Assault Resource Center's 40th anniversary fundraiser on Thursday, April 27th at 5 p.m. at Echo Trust, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. We have a full house tonight, so we're going to just jump right into it. We have Juan Rogel with Millennio.org, and Juan is going to be talking to us about the rally tomorrow in Tigard against racism and for equality. And we also have Ruth Eddy and Alex Fish from Books to Prisoners, and they're going to be talking about a film screening that's happening at In Other Words tomorrow, unfortunately at the same time. And then we're also going to be talking about the Cinco de Mayo rally that's going to be happening in Hillsborough, and the Tacoma rally that's going to be happening up at ICE headquarters on May 27th. So let's just jump right into it right away. My name is Emma, and I'm the co-host, and we're going to start with Juan. Juan, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with Millennio right now and with the Tigard City rally tomorrow?
Tomorrow we'll be demonstrating. It's going to be a small rally outside of the city hall in Tigard, and we demand in Century City. And this is possible with the help of a lot of community organizers in that area. It was a little bit complicated for so many people, or a lot of people refused to keep trying to pass this century or propose this century resolution. And the reason why is because the majority in city hall is Republican. But I think we gotta put pressure on these people no matter what, and that's what we're doing tomorrow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you had any reports of ICE activity in Tigard or in Washington County?
Yeah. According Salvador Castañeda, he's a community organizer in Tigard. He said that there is like some kind of operation around the neighborhoods, but what we know is that there's a lot of people who's not talking about it. A lot of families are scared to take it to the media to talk about what's going on or what happened. And when you are Latino and an active community member, you know a lot of people, but they ask you for confidentiality, and we have to do that, right? So I know some cases, but people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to be mentioned about what's going on. But I think in the future, eventually, we're gonna talk about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And this event is happening at Tigard City Hall, so it's gonna be up before the Tigard City Council. Is there any indication of how the Tigard City Council, you know, is kind of leaning on this issue?
They've been really quiet about it. So we don't really know what's gonna what they have in mind. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're expecting like the worst. Mm-hmm. Always. Mm-hmm. That's what happened in Hillsboro. Mm-hmm. And I think it's gonna be something that we're gonna be putting pressure, like I said, and hopefully we can prove that it's possible. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we're gonna be continuing in every single city. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can be or we can have a little bit of presence in Oregon City.
Yeah.
And I think no matter what, we need to show up. And what Millennium is doing is creating a network of Latino community leaders who are moving around the state and proposing these initiatives. Uh-huh. So hopefully that's what we're gonna do next after Tigard.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people say, well, Oregon's already a sanctuary state, so why do we need to have sanctuary resolutions in individual cities? Could you comment on that?
I mean, when you know that way how they're operating, and it's something that is telling you that they're really doing whatever they want, even here in Multnomah County. And at the same time, what we're doing is that we're working on these sanctuary city resolutions, but at the same time, we're working on legislative proposals. We have a team of people who's getting ready for the session for next year and bring and propose those legislative proposals so ICE can have a way to operate. Like for example, what happened to Emmanuel Ayala? He has like medical conditions, and they took him without knowing his medical conditions.
And he was DACA, right?
Yeah, and he was a DACA recipient. Uh-huh. When they took Rodriguez, mm-hmm. He was, I mean, they were waiting for him like 30 minutes outside and knocking the door. Mm-hmm. In my mm-hmm. opinion, that's harassing. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to propose this legislation where any agent can be outside more than 30 minutes in your house knocking your door, mm-hmm. Knowing what kind of medical conditions you're dealing with. There is a lot of proposals that we're working, mm-hmm. so we can make sure ICE is not going to operate mm-hmm. that way how he wants. Mm-hmm. Okay, they want.
You. Okay, let's get to our other guest for just a minute, and we're going to talk about books to prisoners, and then we'll get back to you in just a minute, Juan. We're going to get back to you and talk some more about the Tigard rally, and we're also going to talk about what's going on in Hillsboro and in Tacoma. But first, let's come to our next guest. We have Ruth Eddy and Alex Fish here with Books to Prisoners. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
And you all have an event that's happening tomorrow at In Other Words. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so tomorrow we're showing a film. The film's showing at starting at 6 o'clock. The film is called 13th, and we're showing it after an hour of our usual volunteering. Usually Books to Prisoners is working out of In Other Words bookstore on Killingsworth every Tuesday from 5 to 7, but next week, or tomorrow rather, is a special showing of a film which talks about the basically legacy of slavery in this country and how it's continued today through the prison system.
And so what is that about? I mean, what happens in the prison system that people need to know about with the 13th?
Wow. There's a lot, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it follows a lot of how sort of the Jim Crow laws and convict leasing has now sort of evolved into, I mean, some of the effects of the drug war is a pretty overtly racial effect on, I mean, that happens with the criminal justice system and definitely in the prison system. It's
so when people are in prison, they're not paid like federal minimum wage.
Yeah, I think the labor system is a huge part of the film, and I guess something that maybe is news to some people. I think a lot of people have an idea of like prison labor and maybe see it as some sort of like positive, you know, something to do, something to keep your hands busy, something to learn. Maybe people think you're making license plates, I think, like that sort mm-hmm. of idea. But the reality of it seems to be a lot deeper, and there's a lot of money in there, and a mm-hmm. lot of money not to be paid to the prisoners because mm-hmm. they don't, like you said, require any sort of minimum.
And I think the movie talks a lot too about the prison industrial complex and about how there's a lot of money being made, obviously very little going to the prisoners, but a lot of money being made by corporations that are partnering with the government for prison labor. Mm-hmm. It also talks about private prisons and the profits being made there and the effect on the prisoners and the prisoners' families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine that, you know, it's very enticing to a corporation to go into a prison where they can pay the workers less than $1 an hour, which is, you know, slave wages.
Right.
And and on top of all of the other ways that prisons profit through, through commissary, through phone, there's so many ways that private corporations are able to work their ways into prisons and profit from them. So this will be interesting. So the movie is called The 13th?
Yeah, the movie is called 13th. It's by it's a documentary by Ava DuVernay, whose film, I guess most notable film, was the film about Martin Luther King, or called Selma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it also connects a lot of the dots between, kind of in the prison industrial complex and how that works, and how, you know, the companies that make a lot of money from prison labor or from servicing the prisons, both federal, state, and private, then lobby the politicians to pass the tough on crime laws so that more people are going to prison, and their corporations, their industries, and their interest has a lot more going on.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me a little bit about Books to Prisoners, too? What is Books to Prisoners about?
Yeah, I'm so happy to have this opportunity to talk about Books to Prisoners. It's exactly what it sounds like, an organization here which sends books to prisoners. I think something that's really attractive to me about the organization is that it's just that simple, almost. But that can be a really powerful thing. I brought some letters, and we hear a lot of times in the letters just like how meaningful it is to have a book. We send them for free, so this is just a resource, and we send them all over the country.
Mm-hmm. And so people ask for books, like you said, Westerns are really popular, science fiction is popular, and people also need a lot of dictionaries.
Yeah, dictionaries get requested a lot, as do a lot of educational materials. A lot of stuff on trades and, you know, learning new skills. I think Ruth brought a couple letters about specific requests.
Dictionaries is definitely the number one. And I brought this list, which I think just shows like a range. I mean, every person is different and has different things. This one says number one, English dictionary, 2, World Atlas, 3, nanotechnology, European photography, drones, yachts, computer science, biological engineering, mechanical engineering, women's fashion, almanac, and aeronautics. So that's one person's interest.
Oh,
and
really?
Mm-hmm. And some are more specific, just like one or two things. This person was looking for books on self-help, reentry, residential construction, and bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So these are you have a lot of time in prison. Reading is really a survival mechanism. It's an important part of life on the inside. And so this is a really great service. It's called Books to Prisoners. And do you try to fulfill every request you get?
Yeah, we do. We're actually a branch of a Seattle organization, and they also have another branch in Olympia. So we get letters, we open them up and read them, look through our library that we have, just donated books, and do our best to fulfill the prisoners' requests. Obviously, we don't have exactly the books they're looking for sometimes, or even, you know, generally the genre. We try to get as close as we can. And when you get a book that is exactly right, it feels really good to know mm-hmm. that's they're getting exactly what they wanted. Or
okay.
We're pretty limited in our space as to how many books that we can have. You know, some people are looking for, like you said, science fiction and Western and stuff to pass the time. And some people are looking for, you know, some radical political stuff, some people about skills to help them out when they get out. So we try to keep a little bit of everything. But yeah, with limited space, it's hard. And, you know, the prison libraries are pretty limited in that way as well. And I've heard conflicting reports from people that have gotten out about, you know, how well the libraries are stocked. I know you have some people inside that are listening, so I'd love to hear about their experiences with the libraries in Oregon prisons. We have, over the years, donated to the prison libraries, and there have been times where we donated and they said this didn't have any space for anymore. So it'd be interesting to hear, you know, if there is a need that could be helped with.
Okay, we'll see if we can follow through on that. So we're going to get back to you in just a minute. We want to I know you brought in a couple of letters to read, so we'll try to get to those and talk a little bit more about the event. But let's come back to Juan. Juan, in addition to the event that is happening on April 25th, at tomorrow at Tigard City Hall, that is at 13125 Southwest Hall Street, you're asking people to come out at 5:30?
Yes.
Okay. So this event that's happened, it's a resolution. Is it exactly, I think what I read on Facebook was that it's a resolution against racism and something else?
No, it's about, the sanctuary status.
It's completely, yeah, it's about sanctuary.
The discussion here is the city hall in Tigard having discussed about racism going on in Tigard, about ICE operations. So that's what we need to hear from this. Mm-hmm. These politicians, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are you encouraging people to turn out for this event?
Yes.
And what time are you encouraging them to come out?
5:30.
5:30, okay.
For the rally. And then I think the first testimonies are going to start around 7:30.
Uh-huh. And if people live in Washington County, can they give testimony?
Yes.
On behalf of Millennial? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, great. Yeah. So I know that you've got some other events coming up, and I just wanted to make sure that I had a chance to ask you about those. I saw that on May 5th, you're doing something for Cinco de Mayo. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. This celebration is about, celebrating the Cinco de Mayo, but also to talk about a little bit more about history, the history behind that people don't know. In Mexico, we don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo. And the reason why Americans celebrate it is because there is something deeply. So we're going to talk about that. And it's a day of celebration, too. So we will be having, like, cultural and performance and a little bit of music. And we will be talking about the accomplishments of Millennial for the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you've really been busy with Vox Hispana, mm-hmm. doing a lot. How did the Woodburn rally turn out?
It was really good. Mm-hmm. It was really good. I think like 150 people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was excited because, that's what the community was asking it in Woodburn. And Vox Hispana is a wonderful organization. We are more like the millennials, you know, mm-hmm. more like sophisticated, more... And they are the old school, but I think we are like the Bernie Sanders campaign. Mm-hmm. We bring in old people and young faces, mm-hmm. to our platform, and that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any change in Woodburn with relationship to the community? Because I read that article. How was that? Did you read the article in the Oregonian about, you know, how Woodburn's kind of turned into a ghost town? Everyone's kind of afraid right now. They're hiding, and people are really worried about ICE.
Yeah. Yeah, I read the article, and that was, as an organization, we believed that we're providing confidence to the community. And we've been getting a lot of criticism from different organizations that we are doing risky, radical things, like going outside of the ICE buildings. Mm-hmm. But, when you have a network of allies willing to do and to show support for our community, I think that people is showing love to that community, to the immigrant and refugee community. When we feel that love, we got the confidence. And that's why we decided to do that rally in Woodburn, to prove the people that they must be confident.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And that's really important. Mm-hmm. So, and we can do a lot of rallies over the state, but the most important now is those legislative proposals that we are designing. And we will be putting pressure on that. We will be protesting in the Capitol every day if it's possible.
Mm. Now, I know that you had a big success in Hillsborough with the sanctuary resolution. What do we need to do? What do you need to do in Tigard to have a similar success?
I think the Millennial has been just facilitating, organizing, and bringing everybody together. but it's a joint effort. There was boss, boss Hispana, who collaborated, Eduardo Corona, who's a community leader well known in Hillsborough, mm-hmm. developing businesses and working in different kind of stuff directly with the community. We had the churches who got involved, and I think that's what Oregon City and Tiger need at mm-hmm. this point. Mm-hmm. When you have the priest telling to the church, to the Latino community, come out and protest, is when you see the action. Mm-hmm. So I think when the churches got together with us and we work together, that's what we keep pushing and pushing and pushing. We had a lot of people talking every day to the city councils, to the mayor, about the same topic. And that's what we were doing. Like, we're going to be someone's going to be over there every day, every single day. Mm-hmm. And when they see community leaders, when they see the church, when they see young faces, when they see organizations together, is when you see the results.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And with the group in Tigard, what would be an effective thing to say to a Tigard City Council member to get them to? Why should they support a sanctuary resolution? What would you tell them?
I mean, prove a point to a Republican is really, really mm-hmm. hard, mm-hmm. But I think what I'm going to suggest is, like, and what is really important is that what we did in Hillsborough, what we are about to do in Tiger, it needs to keep going. That network, that people, we need to keep them engaged in their communities.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens in Tiger, I think that network who's, like, getting together needs to stay over there and keep, like, doing some activities mm-hmm. or working. Mm-hmm. And I think in the future, these people are going to be the future canvassers, phone bankers, and the people who's going to be running a campaign to defeat those people and change mm-hmm. their government. So that's what I'm going to talk about. Mm-hmm. If you're not serving our community, we're going to make sure that this network is going to be here to vote you out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people are still working. I mean, a lot of people are still going to work every day. Even though they're afraid, even with the fear, people are still working. They're contributing to the economy. They're contributing to the community in so many fundamental ways. So many industries, like, just wouldn't even exist without our immigrant worker community.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the report today.
I didn't.
From the news that uh-huh. the farmers are worried about losing their employees,
mm-hmm.
Undocumented employees. And what is really important and we need to talk about is about our struggles. It's more deeply of what people think. But here in Portland, we're facing gentrification. We're facing poverty. We're facing police brutality, too. We're facing immigration, ICE operations. We are being displaced and going and being, we have to live in the ghetto, in other words, now, because we can afford rent. So that's something, those issues is, like, frustrating, and that's why we need to use that energy, come out and resist and keep pushing, and that's what Millennial was about, because we noticed the lack of Latino political participation, so we decided to come create this network and build something, and eventually we're going to have Latinos running for office, hopefully on 2018 or 2020.
Mm-hmm. Great, okay.
More Latinos, yeah.
So we'll come back right at the end of the show and we'll talk a little bit, we'll wrap up again to talk about the Tigard rally and also maybe just hear a little bit about what's going on in Tacoma.
Okay.
And let's get back to Books to Prisoners for a couple of minutes. And so again, just a reminder that there's this event happening. It's going to be on April, or it's going to be tomorrow, right? April 25th?
Right. Tomorrow at 6:00.
And do you know what is the address for, in other words? Is that's on...
14 Northeast Killingsworth.
14 Northeast Killingsworth. Great. Okay. And what time is that at?
6:00.
6:00.
6:00. Uh-huh. And we encourage people to come early, especially if they're interested in the movie. I think you'd be interested in maybe the work we're doing. We're uh-huh. there every week. And so from 5 to 6, we'll be doing our regular sort of Books to Prisoners operations,
uh-huh.
which is... pretty simple, reading letters from prisoners and looking through our library of donated books, trying to fulfill their requests, and then packaging the packages and printing postage and getting them off to those people.
Mm-hmm. And do you meet, so tomorrow is, what is that? That's the last Tuesday of the month. Do you meet on the last Tuesday of every month?
We meet every Tuesday.
Oh, you meet every Tuesday?
Yep. Okay. Every Tuesday from 5 to 7 at the space. In other words, we have a little corner of a library.
And there's lots of other ways for people to get involved as well if people can't make it on Tuesday nights, but they would like to be involved. There's lots of stuff that goes into it besides just what happens there, stuff behind the scenes, and people can help out collecting books or taking stuff to the post office, printing up flyers. We definitely need help with fundraising. That's been an issue, ongoing issue for us, but because all our funds are donated or done through benefit shows.
Mm-hmm. So we send probably about 100 packages a month. It varies based on the group of volunteers we have. Some weeks it's just 3 people, some weeks it's 10 or maybe more people, and on those nights we get a lot of packages done, but it's probably about 100 or so packages a month that we're mailing out, upwards of that.
Wow.
And each package is somewhere between $3 and $4 to send all across the country. So that's kind of what we're perennially fundraising for, is just to keep packages going out the door and into prison.
Mm-hmm. Now, for somebody on the inside, if they wanted to contact you to request a book, because it's not that easy to how would they contact you from the inside?
We do have a P.O. box.
Do you know what that is?
To send letters to.
It is. It's P.O. Box 11222, Portland 97211.
Can you repeat that?
P.O. Box 11222, Portland, Oregon 97211.
That's Books to Prisoners?
That's Portland Books to Prisoners, yep. We are officially an offshoot of Seattle, so most of the letters that we answer come from Seattle Books to Prisoners. People do occasionally write. We needed to have a separate organization for Oregon prisoners at one point because they had separate rules for Oregon prisons. Mm-hmm. Luckily, that's not the case anymore. So we can send books everywhere now.
Great. Okay, so we've got just a couple of minutes left. I want to just really briefly, Juan, can you tell us May 27th in Tacoma? That's the ICE headquarters and our regional headquarters for ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. There's going to be something going on. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're planning to do a demonstration, and we'll be demanding some changes. The strike from the...
There's a hunger strike going on.
Yeah, going on right now. We contact some families, and they're going to have a demonstration inside.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing something outside, and we'll be demanding to do those changes that our people is struggling right now. So that's what we're gonna do. That's gonna be on the 27th. There will be more details about it. Mm-hmm. And of course there will be more organizations getting involved from Washington. We're trying to make it like a state call for mm-hmm. Washington and Oregon.
Okay, so just one last time to tell everyone where you want them to turn out tomorrow. Tomorrow, where do you want people to come? One last time.
It's at the Tiger City Hall. I think you got the address. Uh-huh.
Tiger City Hall. You said it's 13125 Southwest Hall.
Yeah.
Boulevard. Is that downtown Tiger?
Yes.
Kind of that little offshoot off mm-hmm. of Pacific Highway. And you said 5:30?
Yes. From 5:30 to 6:30.
5:30 to 6:30. And then afterwards, there'll be the city commission
yeah,
meeting.
We're going inside. We're listening. We will be providing our testimonies. And
mm-hmm. And are you encouraging as many people as possible to come out to this?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And if people want to get in touch with Millennia, if they want to find out more, how can they reach you?
The best way is Facebook. Mm-hmm. In our Facebook page is millennia.org. And they can go to that section, events, and we always have like 8 events.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
great.
they can see all. They can see their calendar. They can see their agenda and see, I can go or not.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Portland Books to Prisoners, tomorrow is a film. Tell me one more time, where is that going to be?
It's at In Other Words Bookstore on Killingsworth.
Mm-hmm. At 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
Okay, and if people want to reach Portland Books to Prisoners, how can they reach you?
Probably also on Facebook or in person every Tuesday.
We have an email, which is pdxbookstoprisoners@riseup.net. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage anyone that's in prison and getting out, we would love to have your involvement and input in what we do. So please come check us out.
Okay, great. Well, you've been joining me tonight. We were here with Ruth Eddy and Alex Fish from Portland Books to Prisoners and Juan Rigel from Millennio.org. And I just want to give a shout out to all the ladies at Coffee Creek Prison. We love you, and we hope you're all doing well. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline, and have a great night.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that
you are about to cross the border.
And then follow the footsteps to a two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound. Where will you be on Mondays at 8 when the door slams shut? Here on KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Spirit Trials, happening from Friday, April 21st to Sunday, April 30th at Disjectin, Portland. Spirit Trials is a live hip-hop soundtrack, a theatrical meditation on race, religion, and the criminal justice system. Created and performed by Delac Braithwaite,